Good morning, church. Baby, it's cold outside. It is cold out there, but it is warm in here. Maybe not as warm as we would like it to be, but thank God for this place where we can gather and experience a bit of warmth, not only of physical warmth, but of spiritual warmth as well. The Holy Spirit moves in this place mightily and powerfully. And I want to thank Brett for last week covering for Mana and me. And I know that many of you were here and got to experience the joy of the music that was shared in this place. So thanks for that, Brett. Appreciate that very, very much. We are in the season of Epiphany. And I was anxiously awaiting those Epiphany cards that were going to come into the mailbox. I waited by the mailbox all day yesterday, waiting for those Epiphany cards to come in. Why are you laughing? You're laughing because you know the truth that Epiphany has become lost in Christmas. But Epiphany, just as we heard Amber talk with the children, it represents both the baptism of Jesus. It represents the journey of the wise men into the story of Jesus. You know, Christmas is great. Christmas is awesome. But anyone can be born. We all did it. You know, it's not that hard to be born. But in Epiphany, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is someone who is more than just a man, but he's also God, and that was revealed in Epiphany. It was revealed in the baptism. It was revealed when the wise men came to this boy who was indeed the king, and the king of all kings. And so I like Epiphany. And Epiphany actually came first. Before Christmas, Epiphany was the holiday that the church celebrated. But then Christmas got popular in the 300s, way, way back when, and took over. But let's give thanks for Epiphany, this revealing of God in the human flesh of Jesus Christ. We are going to enter a season of talking about this thing called the Apostles' Creed. And many of you know what the Apostles' Creed is. It's a list of things that we as Christians believe. And not just Methodists, not just Protestants, but and not just even Catholics, but the whole church, Eastern Church and Western Church. We believe in certain things that make us Christians. Now, we vary on a lot of ways that we believe those things, but as a core of Christian belief, we believe certain things. And one of those is this thing called the Apostles' Creed. It's a list of things that we believe. Later, other creeds came along to try to clarify more and more who Jesus is, the Nicene Creed, or later, who the Holy Spirit is, the Chalcedonian Creed. But this Apostles' Creed is something that we as believers can hold as pillars to support our faith. So we're going to spend all the way up to Easter talking about the various aspects of the Apostles' Creed. But to begin that, we begin with God, the Father Almighty, who is the maker of heaven and of earth. Going to invite you to come with me into Scripture, into the book of Corinthians, found on the screen and also in the Pew Bibles on page 1374, and listen for God speaking to you through these ancient words today. Now, about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. Boy, that's important to learn, isn't it? We can all learn something from that. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Jesus is Lord, and he is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for this time. I pray that you will allow me to decrease, to disappear, that your word and your glory may increase in this time. It is yours, God. Use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we believe in God the Father. Interesting that we would use that word to describe God as a father. You know, for the longest time, humanity tried to understand this one who made all things. There are many, and even to today, there are many who, even if they do not believe in Jesus Christ, are wondering, who is God? Who is this one who made all things? Some people become so frustrated trying to figure out who God is that they abandon God entirely. Maybe they've been hurt by the church, hurt by that knowledge that puffs up and builds up till they get to the point where they think they don't need God anymore. The mystery, trying to put our hands, our heads, our hearts around who is this one who made us, who made this world of ours, everything that we know, everything that we see, everything that is around us was made by this one that we have come to know as God. Who is that? Who is that person? Who is that force, that spirit? It boggles the mind. Our human understanding reaches its limits to describe this one known as God. No matter how sophisticated our learning, our vocabulary is, eventually we run out of words to describe this one we know as God because we can't process it. We can't put our minds around it. Someone who existed before there was existence? Someone who was around before time began? Someone who will be around after existence ends? After time is no more, this one who we know who created all things will still be around? How does that make any sense? I can't process that. I don't know how to put that into words. I don't know how to describe this one known as God. It's too big for me to figure out. My language reaches the limit, and I can't describe it any better. I don't know. There is an unknown to God. There is a mystery to this one we know as God. We can't entirely put our hands around it. And when we think we have God figured out, God reveals something else about God's nature that blows our mind and blows up whatever we thought of God as being. We need help to know God, because we can't do it on our own. We can't get there with our human minds to where God is. But hear the good news. It's been done for us. Someone has given us the answer. And I bet you know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. This one who has come into this existence of ours has given us knowledge about God that we didn't have before and we cannot have without him. Jesus gives us something that we could not have with God on our own. A relationship with God. We can't have a relationship with something that we don't know. You know, I know Britney Spears. I've seen her on TV. I know the songs she sings. Believe it or not, don't make fun of me. I know her, but I don't know her personally. I know about her. In Jesus Christ, Jesus has made God known to us as someone more than just someone that we know about. We know great things about God. In Jesus Christ, we know God not only as this great maker of all things. We know God as a father. Jesus uses the language of relationship to describe who God is. God is a father. Not just a father. God is my father, says Jesus. And not only my father, says Jesus. Jesus says he is our father. That Jesus is inviting us along with him into this relationship with God that is different from what we experienced in God before. That God is knowable. That God is not only knowable, but God wants to be in relationship with each and every one of us. That's different from thinking of God as the great potter, you know, who shapes and molds the clay and forms great, beautiful artistry. Yes, God is that potter who makes beautiful things. But you and I are more than just clay on the potter's wheel. God desires to be known by us, to be in relationship with us, to fulfill what we are called to do. More than a tree, more than the rocks, more than your cat or your dog, we as humans have a purpose in life that those things don't. To worship and praise God as only we can. Not even the angels can offer the praise and glory to God that we as humans can. And to be in the relationship with God that not even the angels can share with God. God thinks pretty highly of us. God wants to be in relationship with us. But there's a warning in that. Jesus said, you know, humanity, if you can't do it, if you can't praise and worship God, then those rocks and the creation, that'll offer the praise instead of your purpose. How good does it feel when you know what you're supposed to be doing? How good does it feel when you know that you're doing the right thing? When you are worshiping and praising God, as only God's children can do, you have figured out your purpose. And when you have done that, then your life is so rich and so full and so transformed. Because you can't praise Jesus, you can't praise God without that transforming your life. You just can't do it. It has to happen. When you are saying Jesus is Lord, that changes who you are from the inside. But God is not simply a father. When we read the words of Scripture, we read the words of the Creed, God is a Father Almighty. You see, human fathers, we know we're going to fall short. I fall short all the time. And those of us who have had fathers, we know they fall short in some area. Maybe they fall short in the way that they've treated us. Maybe they fall short in their health. Maybe they fall short in their mental capacities. There's some aspect of every father that falls short of who a father can be and who a father is in God, a Father Almighty. So my dad was a brilliant man. But his health fell short. And sometimes he had a temper. He never hit me, thank God, but you know, I knew that my dad was not a perfect man. Some of us, maybe someone in this room experienced fatherhood or experienced their father in a way that was abusive or painful, hurtful, And that is not the kind of relationship that a Father Almighty wants to have with you. The Father Almighty, those imperfections of humanity are put aside. They don't exist in the relationship of a Father Almighty has for us. God the Father Almighty never abuses, never falls short in his mental or physical or spiritual capacities. He is an almighty Father and loves us perfectly with love that we as humans can't get to because the words run out. Remember that? The words just don't have the capacity to describe God's love for us. And let's not get caught up in the Father aspect of God, as if God is a man. God is spirit, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. God is not a man. God is not male. God created us male and female in God's image. God is beyond those concepts. I wish I had the language to be able to put that into words, how that works. But I do know that we get so caught up in those details. Just know this, that God is deeply and madly in love with you. And wants that relationship with you as only a Father Almighty can. Jesus said, if you who are humans will do good things for your children, think how much more your heavenly Father wants to do good things for you, to bring you into relationship that not only will last for a lifetime, but will last for all eternity. That's the kind of love that God has that never ends, that never wears out, and never gives up. In Paul's writings, he compares the relationship that God has for us, not only as children born of mother and father's love, but goes deeper than that, and compares God's love to the love that is shown in adoption. You see, you love your kids, but in adoption, that mother and father choose to love the children. They pull them out of whatever that situation that child's life is, and may it says, come and be part of my family. That's the kind of relationship that Paul describes in his letters, that God is choosing us. God is adopting us into his family. It's a love that God grabs hold of us and holds on tight and will never let us go. That is a very powerful love. All of those words, all of those descriptions of the love that God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, has, and I can't help but feel that I have fallen short because my words just don't have the sophistication that I need to be able to describe the love that God has. And so I'll simply say this, God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Hold on, Brett.